Good morning, Carborough and Chapel Hill. This is Wilp's Wake Up Call. I'm Lori Hoyt, and with us is Dick Paddock, our faithful engineer, and Dick joins in our dialogue sometime, and we have a wonderful guest, one of our dear friends of Wilp, Lori Clark, and a well-known community person. You're probably very well-known throughout the whole community because of your job with Blue Ribbon. So good morning, and tell us a little bit about that.
Good morning. I am a lifelong resident of Carborough, yeah. Although I haven't lived here all of my life. My family has been here over six generations.
Wow.
So there is a lot of involvement on both sides of my family. And, you know, I feel like we have a pretty strong presence here.
I think so. Very, very well known for any of the community that's lived around here more than a year or two.
Absolutely.
And so I've sort of known you or seen you for many years also. And I think you've been on this program earlier about your job. I know we want to talk about a new project you just started, the Hannah Ruth Foundation. But first, just tell us a little bit about the Blue Ribbon Mentoring Program.
The Blue Ribbon Mentor Advocate Program was designed in 1995 to help close the achievement gap. And it's an awesome program. I'm really proud to be a part of it and to be able to work in the community where I feel I can have an impact. And basically, we recruit students in the fourth grade and work with them through high school. And my position works primarily or specifically with the high school students to make sure that they're in the right courses in high school, that they have the enrichment and the resources that they need to be successful. And that would include taking alternative spring break trips, preparing for the SAT, college tours. And then in addition to that, I run a youth leadership service club called the Blue Ribbon Youth Leadership Institute, or YLI. And that's really awesome because it focuses on teaching students how to become servant leaders and how to make a difference in the community. And students come up with their own service projects on a monthly basis. We've done things from Chapel Hill Rehab, the Interfaith Council, Ronald McDonald House, Jordan Lake, you know, whatever the need and the desire is to make a difference, that's usually what we do. For example, tomorrow we're going to the Carolina Rescue Tiger compound, I guess it is, in Pittsburgh. It used to be the Carnivore Preservation Trust. And so we'll go down there and we'll do a service project, and the students will you know, have a tour, which is always fun.
Mm-hmm.
And so we make that an annual service event. And this past spring break, we went to Charlotte and Asheville. And in Charlotte, we worked for the Samaritan House. And students had an opportunity to attend an NBA basketball game. We toured Johnson & Wales and UNC Charlotte. In Asheville, we worked for two nonprofit organizations and worked at a garden, Bountiful Garden. So we did some environmental work and then toured Warren Wilson College.
Oh.
And also UNC Asheville. So it's teaching students how to become servant leaders, how to make an impact in the community. I think we do a pretty good job of that because we have well over 200 students that participate at all four schools.
That is so wonderful, and it must be so interesting for you and keep you young, you know, traveling around and just also seeing all the resources and things that are not only in our community but in other parts of the state, and everything went from Tigers to
absolutely
to helping out at Jordan Lake. That's just wonderful. And I hope that the school system appreciates the importance of this program and keeps the funding up. And I know that's probably an issue each year, especially with a short budget.
It is, but I do think the superintendent, along with the school board, understands the value.
Yeah.
You know, a couple years ago, there was a higher value on service learning. But I think it really impacts students that take that part of it seriously. Mm-hmm. That, you know, I'm not just working or volunteering to get service for graduation, mm-hmm. but because I want to help someone, mm-hmm. and I have the heart to do it, mm-hmm. and I care. And mm-hmm. so our students, we have realized their grades improve, mm-hmm. they become more involved and active in other student organizations, mm-hmm. and civic organizations, mm-hmm. in the community. So they do, you know, make a difference.
And it's a ripple effect for the students, too. You're right. I mean, and also for the community, to have students who are learning more about and appreciating the various resources in the community, and getting past that kind of shyness. I mean, we all tend to stick in a little patterned way of our neighborhood, or just where we go, and to sort of break out of those strictures and move into the larger community and other communities, going up to Asheville and Charlotte. That's just wonderful, and I'm glad to hear that the school is, I hope, keeping up its commitment to this, because this is one program that sounds one of the most important. Now, with your work doing that, you somehow have found time and energy to have a whole new project, the Hannah Ruth Foundation. And I know you told me that that's named after two of your grandmothers, Hannah and Ruth. And tell us more about that and what led you to do that.
Sure. I'm delighted to share with you a new project that I've started, which is the Hannah Ruth Foundation, affectionately named after my grandmothers. I didn't know Hannah, who was my father's mom, but as I was thinking and really meditating on what I wanted to do, I thought, what better way to honor what I want to do than to name a foundation after my grandmothers? And my grandmother Ruth has been around in the community for many, many years, and she lived to be just a little over 90, so a lot of people actually knew her. She was very active in Carrboro, always sharing her stories on Carrboro Day, and just around, you know, helping people.
Yeah.
She was a nurse and ran a nursing home many, many years ago, but, you know, was just such a blessing in the community and in my life, and I thought, you know, I really want to honor her legacy. And so as I was thinking about what I want to do and how to make an impact, I thought that I would name my foundation after my grandmothers.
That really touches my heart, because I never knew either of my grandmothers. My mother's mother died when she was a child, a baby still, and my father's mother died premature. You know, she'd had heart trouble and died, mm-hmm. in her 40s, and so I had never met either of them, and I have a real close, affectionate memories of my paternal grandfather with whom we lived, but that's so touching to me, especially that you named after the one you didn't know at all, and honoring her really makes me think about that.
And if you think about the reference that Hannah and Ruth have to the Bible,
yes.
Hannah was very gracious and had favor. God granted her favor, and for Ruth was a friend and had a lot of compassion. And so those two elements are really important.
Yeah.
You know, because we want, of course, we all want favor, and we want favor to be able to do what we want to do, but we want to be able, through the foundation, to offer hope and compassion in what we do. And so that's what we always focus on, hope and compassion.
So hope and compassion, and I think you had told me earlier at the Carrboro Festival when we met that you also wanted to do some service and compassion and help with seniors.
Absolutely. Well, our board has just met, and basically what happened was, on my birthday, I had been thinking, which was April 9th, I got a group of my friends together, and I had been thinking a lot about Haiti and
yes.
what was happening in Haiti, and thinking about some local issues and national and global
yeah.
issues. And so I gathered a group of my friends that I thought would support me, and I shared my vision, which was Hannah Ruth. And so we've just met and created our mission statement. And our mission statement is, the Hannah Ruth Foundation is a nonprofit community-based initiative created to address the disenfranchisement, isolation, and lack of resources available to the elderly and the youth in our community.
Okay.
Hannah Ruth fosters support through friendship, enrichment opportunities, and multifaceted contributions to connect its members' clients to other community resources and events. So we want to be able to work with youth and the elderly in the community. We've already completed our first project, which was to help a young lady that was graduating, and her family had abandoned her a few months earlier. Oh. And she needed money and resources to purchase her cap and gown. So we were able to raise enough money to purchase her cap and gown. But her situation is really pretty dim. She is living virtually on her own, and she so desires to continue her education. And so Hannah Ruth is hoping that we can provide her with a laptop. You know, with technology now, you know, it's so important to have access to the internet, especially when you're in college. So we're hoping we'll be able to raise enough money to purchase a laptop, her transportation fare to Durham Tech for at least a semester, and what some other resources or needs that she may have.
Oh, that is wonderful. So here is this young person. What a sad thing, abandoned by her family. And here you all are trying to fill in that gap and give her that kind of support and encouragement. That's just wonderful. Just wonderful. Are we ready for a station break? I see you looking at me. Okay, this is Wilp's Wake Up Call. We come to you every Friday morning from 7:30 to 8 o'clock, bringing you the important news of the day and of the community, of the world. And I'm Lori Hoyt, your host, and Dick Paddock, co-host. And
good morning, Chapel Hill and Carborough.
Faithful engineer. And we are so blessed to have an underwriter. And it's one of our favorite places, Internationalist Bookstore at 405 West Franklin Street. If you haven't been there, check it out. It's got books that you're not going to find in the big bookstore, particularly books on politics and culture, some alternative views of looking at what's happening in the world. But any kind of book that you want, they'll order it for you. You can find out more about it on internationalistbooks.org. And also, by the way, we are a low-power station, WCOM-FM. If you're having some difficulty with your reception, you can stream us live. And go to WCOMFM.org. So there's no impediment to hearing our program and other wonderful programs on WCOM. And they do have some wonderful ones. Also with Wilp, I just want to let you know before I forget that we are celebrating our 75th year, our 75th birthday in this community. Nationally, we're much older. We're about 95, I think. But started in 1915. But Charlotte Adams in 1935 started our local branch. And you can find out more about us by going to trianglewilp.org. And with Wilp, don't forget that P in there, WILPF. Okay. And I forgot to tell you to have your pencils ready, because we always give you information how you can find out more about whatever our topic is or about us. We're very, very honored to have one of our dear friends and longtime community activist, not just herself but her whole family, and which has been here for six generations, Lori Clark, who is doing such wonderful creative work with the Blue Mentor program in our schools, and now has started a foundation.
Yes.
And we're talking about that and learning more about it and your hopes and dreams for it.
And so another part of what we plan to do is also work with the elderly. And I think that my mom was my inspiration for that piece of the project. And I realize that there are so many elderly people in our community that are on a fixed income, mm-hmm. but that so desire to do the things that they used to do, which is go to the theater or go on an outing or get their nails done. It's mm-hmm. little things that we take for granted mm-hmm. that oftentimes they are unable to do because they're on a fixed income. Mm-hmm. And so initially I thought, wouldn't it be great to get a group of women together for Girls Night Out? You know, just to go to the movies or have a pedicure party or, you know, whatever, just for some fun, some fellowship. And so that was my inspiration for the elderly piece. But, of course, it's much more than that. You know, we want to be able to take them to Playmakers, on day trips, or even just go to different senior facilities and provide some type of activity, you know, because there are a lot of people that actually can't get out. So that's one of the things we want to do. We're very ambitious, and we would love to do something on a monthly basis. I don't know if that will come to pass. I pray that it does, but at least quarterly, we would like to be able to provide an activity for the elderly in our community. And it, you know, and so it doesn't have to be that, you know, we're always taking them someplace. Mm-hmm. It could be in the form of making or developing friendships. Mm-hmm. And then trying to find people that would be interested in making friends, you know, their age, and mm-hmm. providing some type of peer support.
Mm-hmm. So this could go in many directions.
Absolutely.
And there are some really good resources in this community with the senior center, and I know I do my exercise class there. They do have buses that take some of the older people who don't drive anymore, bring them there by bus. So there are some resources, but then to connect different people with those resources, some people don't know about them, or maybe those resources are still a little difficult for them, or not quite what they wanted. They want to go to Playmakers. That's a little right. different. But that is great. That is great. And I, when you're talking about also wanting to help the youth, I just wondered if maybe to be also thinking about at some point connecting the youth with the elderly.
Absolutely. I think, you know, as I do my work with Blue Ribbon, I've had the opportunity, of course, to do a lot of service in the community.
Yeah.
And more often than not, the youth are a little not reluctant to kind of work with the elderly, simply because it's something that's unfamiliar to them.
Yeah.
So if you create more opportunities, then I think they enjoy it. You know, it's kind of scary for them to think that maybe they'll get that old or end up in different situations. But more often than not, when we go to a facility and they interact with the residents, mm-hmm. they really get into it and develop an appreciation for the elderly's wisdom, their mm-hmm. sense of humor, mm-hmm. and just, you know, spending time with them. Mm-hmm. So I think it is a great way that we can connect the youth with the elderly. Mm-hmm. And usually the elderly always love for the youth to come in. And there's one lady at Chapel Hill Rehab who always says, and we could be a group of 20, and she'll say, I want everybody to come in and tell me your name. I might know your mama or your grandma. You know, so it, you know, you do want to build relationships between generations. And I think that's so important and so valuable. And for many people in our community, they've lost the stories and don't really understand or know the history.
That's exactly what was in my mind, that we have somehow created structures in our society that keep us away from each other. you know, the old live over here and mm-hmm. and get into older citizens' places where there's not young people, mm-hmm. and that's not how it was for thousands of years. We, you know, the extended family stayed together, and while we can't undo all of society, some ways to build some of those connections, I think, would be so great. And I'm going to take a little drink of water. I'm getting a little hoarse here. So, Lori.
So, we are thinking about that. We had our first fundraiser on Tuesday, which we called a friendraiser. And I asked everyone on the board to invite a group of their friends so that we could share our vision and talk about what we're trying to do in the community so that we could get some support. And so, we had a great turnout. And actually got a lot of ideas. And I know that we're not trying to reinvent the wheel, mm-hmm. that there are a lot of resources available that we should tap into. Mm-hmm. But we can also be a resource for other people that don't know about those agencies in the community. And, you know, because of my work and my presence in the community, a lot of people come and ask. So, I don't know that Hannah Ruth will work as a clearinghouse, but we certainly could do that. But in addition to that, we do want to be very proactive and very engaged in offering resources and support to the youth and the elderly.
Well, you know, no matter how many resources the community has, and this community is better than some, there's always a need for more people, and there's always some people that get sort of through the cracks and get kind of lost, mm-hmm. and or don't quite fit in certain ways, and I think that I can just see, especially with you being such a pivotal person in terms of being so involved in the community, being able to be alert to needs that other people would have a harder time finding mm-hmm. out about. So, Dick, you're looking at me like you want to tell me something, no? Okay. So, so this really ties in well with your Blue Mentor job in terms of community knowledge.
Absolutely. I think my foundation and my work complements each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it certainly doesn't take away from anything because had I not been in my position with Blue Ribbon, I would not have known about the young lady in the high school
yeah,
to know about
exactly.
her need. And then Hannah Ruth is able to take that need and do something with it. And I'm sure there are some other agencies that could possibly have helped. But, you know, there are a lot of red tape and issues and things you have to go through and documentation that you have to show to get sometimes the money that you need, and that can be lengthy.
You have to jump through a lot of hoops.
Absolutely.
People do not give money very freely, and they do have a lot of red tape, and I can see where knowing of a need and having a foundation behind you where if you feel it's valuable and important, you can jump in the right time, because some of these things are timely.
Mm-hmm.
Getting the order in for your cap and gown is not something that can wait a couple
Absolutely.
Of months.
Absolutely.
So that, something where you have that kind of freedom and don't have that bureaucratic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And not to knock, you know, the bureaucracy.
Absolutely, not to do that.
But at the same time, there is a need for more flexibility.
Absolutely.
With somebody who wants to help and do some kind of service. So so there you are. And how many do you have other people I take in your foundation helping you with this work?
Absolutely. I certainly do not do this work alone. I have a board. And, you know, we are new. We just started in mm-hmm, April, but mm-hmm. I'm excited that we have been able to raise the money that we've raised. We filed with the state.
Great. So you're getting very legitimate.
We are, and we're working on getting our nonprofit status.
Good. So if people want to make donations, that when you get the nonprofit status out, of course, you can take donations now.
Absolutely, we can take donations now.
And we'd love to get donations.
We would love to get donations because we're certainly committed to helping the young lady who wants to attend school in the fall. Mm-hmm. But we have a P.O. Box number in Carrboro.
Yes,
and
yes.
Our mailing address is P.O. Box 964. And that's in Carrboro, 27510. And we also have an email account, which is Hannah, H-A-N-N-A-H, Ruth Foundation, @gmail.com. So we're working on our website. And if anyone wants to make a donation, they can certainly send their donation to our P.O. Box in Carrboro.
And they can also go to your email.
And they can email us for additional information.
Right.
We don't have the money right now for a website, but hopefully by the end of the year, we'll be able to have a website. We are on Facebook, Hannah Ruth Foundation, so look us up on Facebook.
Okay, so there's many ways to get more information about this wonderful new project that Laurie Clark, a well-known, long-time community activist, has started. And I guess part of it's grown out of your work where you see the needs in the community, working with young people. How many years have you been doing this? Have you been doing this since
8 years.
For 8 years,
yes.
With the Blue Mentoring Program. And I got this new thing that will give her more flexibility to help not just the youth, which she's been working with for 8 years, but also the elderly. You know, there's so many people in this busy, complicated society of ours who kind of fall through the cracks, and particularly the elderly sitting there lonely, not quite knowing how to access some of the things that they need in terms of fellowship, in terms of getting out, in terms of maybe transportation, and just those simple things that make life worth living. And I think that people by now should know they should have their pencils out. Why don't you give those numbers again, Lori?
Because that would be great.
People have had a chance to be thinking about this.
Again, our email address is Hannah Ruth, H-A-N-N-A-H, Ruth Foundation, @gmail.com. And you can send any donation. We would greatly appreciate it to P.O. Box 964, and that's in Carrboro, 27510. And again, we're also on Facebook. You can look us up on the Hannah Ruth Foundation.
So there's many ways to get more information, and this is such a really nice thing that if you wanted to volunteer, it's something you can just feel so hands-on and right away important and needed, because when these things are young and new, this is the kind of an exciting time, because you know you're building it and
absolutely
trying to see what direction it's going to go in. And that's the wonderful thing in this community. There's another new thing I was just reading about in the paper, Porch, where some neighborhoods are on their own collecting food, and we'll get somebody on. Yeah, and that's just started several months ago. So it's just heartening. You know, we read all this news, and it's and despair is part of our lives now, I think, in terms of, you know, the environment and the oil spill. And to balance that with these hopeful, you know, energy-giving, life-giving projects is what we all need to kind of keep going here and keep going with some joy in our hearts.
Absolutely. Hope and compassion.
Hope and compassion. Thank you. That's a.
And don't forget, when you send your check in, you will send a check in.
Yes, you
to,
will.
Make it payable to the Hannah Ruth Foundation.
The Hannah Ruth Foundation.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point,
yes.
Dick. The Hannah Ruth Foundation. And again, since we're hoping everyone's pencil is out, I just want to remind you that you can find out more about us, TriangleWILPF.org. And we are a peace and justice group that has been working in this community since 1935, trying to educate people and do advocacy and protests and petitions to make this a more peaceful but also a more just world. And
we'll see you all here. Talk with you again next week.
Okay.
I need to be going.
Okay. Goodbye, Carl.